I want to speak to you briefly tonight on what I titled the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer. How many of you want to say, Pastor, since we began this prayer series, something has started happening in my life? How many of you want to say this series has been very helpful to you? Sincerely so? God bless you. Yesterday, two of our brethren came to speak with me. And one word that one of them used, and permit me please to quote the words of Dr. Paul. You used the word hypernumia. Now that hypernumia, it's from your Bible college. That is high presence of the Holy Spirit. He was just trying to tell me with his friend how much this whole series has been doing in their lives. The kind of things that have been happening. Just take it down a bit. And I said, it's not just in your life alone. For me now, it's a strange thing for you to get out of your house and not spend an hour with the Lord. Where are you in a hurry to go to? Who are you in a hurry to see if you've not spent at least an hour? That's the normal believer's prayer life. I mean, as a believer, you're expected to pray minimum an hour. Is that okay? Then as a pastor, to whom much is given? Praise God. And one of the things that I find out is that as we spend more time in prayer, great things happen. Amen? Great things happen. Great things happen. Let me just share with you briefly tonight on what I titled the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 16. I pray that I'll be able to cover so much grounds, because what I want to share with you is from the very depths of my heart. And Ephesians 1 verse 16. Let me start from verse 15, please. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. That is the primary assignment of every minister. Every minister of the gospel, every pastor, associate pastor, your first assignment is to make mention of the people that God has sent you, to make mention of them in prayer. And Paul puts it this way, verse 16. He said, I cease not, meaning that it is expected of ministers' prayers, pastors, not to cease in making mention of those that God has given you oversight function. You have to make mention of them always, without ceasing. A day should not pass by without ceasing. Making mention of you always in my prayer. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Now, what is the call? What is the clause or the core of this prayer? What is the purpose of this prayer? When you pray for those people, what do you pray about? HOD, when you pray for those who are in your unit, what do you pray about? What's the purpose of this prayer? And whatever you pray about, whatever constitutes the purpose of your prayer for them, must also be the purpose behind your prayer for yourself. So we want to really look at the purpose of prayer. What do we pray about when we pray? Now, what I'm about to share with you is something that will enrich your prayer life. I remember Kenneth Hagin sharing, particularly from this, talking about this text. I remember that several years ago, Kenneth Hagin made mention of the fact that he started pastoring a small church and he discovered that, look, he was having limited understanding of scriptures and the light that he had from God concerning certain things was a little bit limited. And so he stumbled on this scripture, and Kenneth Hagin took that scripture. You know what he did? He took that Bible passage and opened it and kept it on top of the altar of that little church. And Kenneth Hagin will pray with that scripture every day. Some say 1,000 times he prayed with this particular scripture I'm about to share with you. Kenneth Hagin prayed with it for several years. And Kenneth Hagin said the outcome of it are the things that later he began to see manifestation in his life. I will not forget. I mean, I just got back into this. Man of God, it was really, really something else for me yesterday. I just couldn't leave verse 18. Just couldn't leave verse 18. In my place of prayer, I just couldn't get out of verse 18. Just verse 18 alone, by the time I looked at the time, I was already 1 hour gone, and I'm like, God, I've never started praying for others yet. Just for me, verse 18 alone. Day before I said, I was like, God, and you know, today, the whole of my time in the place of prayer was verse 19. I'm not talking about 3, 13, 14, 20 prayer points. Just one verse of scripture helped me in the place of prayer for that long. Praise God. So let's look at the purpose of prayer. Let's look at the purpose of prayer. It said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's verse 16. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please, I want you to begin to see how prayer goes. I want you to begin to see how prayer goes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. This is the beginning of prayer now, verse 17. So you pray, who do you pray to? Oh, come and talk to me now. Who do you pray to first? I need to hear you. Say it again. Who do you pray to? Look at verse 17. You pray to the God of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, who turns out to be the Father of what, sir? Talk to me. The Father of what? The Father of glory. Now, I'm not going to spend time on that, because if I'm going to just talk about the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, that's going to take the whole of our time today. We have communion. So I'm not going to spend so much time on that today, because I have a goal in view. I'm not talking about the pathway or the process of prayer today. I want to look at the purpose of prayer. I'm not sure we've even talked about the pattern for prayer yet in this church. We've not dealt with the pattern, the process, the pathway to prayer. So let's look at it carefully. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of what, sir? Wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of who? Now talk to me. In the knowledge of who? The him is who? You see, if you don't flow with the text from the beginning, you're going to miss it out. For this cause, I bow my knees before the God of who? So I pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the Father of what? The Father of glory, that he who? Talk to me now. The Father of glory. Praise God. Fantastic. So, now he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. So the first purpose of prayer is to access the spirit of what? Talk to me, the spirit of what? Wisdom. One of the major foundation, one of the major reasons why you pray is to access the spirit of wisdom. And you're going to see why that is very important. Everybody in the house of God. And listen, for those of you who are intercessors, let me quickly say this. The best thing you can ever do when you pray for somebody else is to pray that God will give the person the spirit of wisdom. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The best thing you can ever do to anybody, sir. Man of God, as we pray for members of the church, let me say this, honestly. It's a waste of time for you to be praying that God should give somebody a car. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of priestly prayer. For a priest to go into the place of prayer and waste his time, and all you're praying for is that God should give somebody a car, I think it's a waste of priestly time in the place of prayer. Paul didn't pray for that. Paul never prayed for any member of his church that God would give them food. Never. Never prayed that God would give them clothes. Never prayed that God would give them money. Are you getting what I'm saying now? HODs, that's what to do, sir. Team leaders, that's what to do. You pray that God will give them the spirit of what, sir? Say it again, the spirit of what? So when you pray for yourself, the first thing you pray about is, do you pray for a car or you pray for the spirit of wisdom? Huh? You pray for the spirit of wisdom. Pray for the spirit of wisdom. I challenge you over the next 90 days, over the next 6 months, why don't you take the time out and begin to pray for the spirit of wisdom? Try what I'm talking about and see what will happen in your life. You will begin to see wisdom at a different level altogether. And let me say this, the Bible says with wisdom is durable riches. So stop praying for riches, pray for wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? People pay for your wisdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People pay for your wisdom. If you command wisdom, people pay for it. So stop praying for money when you need to pray for wisdom. Because the Bible said the kings of the earth came to Solomon and they brought gifts. In fact, not only did they bring gifts, sir, I used to think they just brought gifts to Solomon. And I thought that was what made Solomon rich. The Bible says that year by year, those people had to be sending. There were special, I don't know what it is from their country, but every year nation sends certain portion of their national income to Solomon. Because the man carried the wisdom that can dissolve their doubts and solve their national problems. They come there every year because the man had wisdom. Now listen to me, my question to you is this. If by the possession of wisdom, please take note of this, Solomon had wisdom, he didn't have the spirit of wisdom. Do you understand that now? If by the possession of wisdom alone, look at what it did for Solomon. We're not talking about a gift of wisdom. We're not talking about the spirit of wisdom. You imagine what's going to happen if you possess the spirit of wisdom. But the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel. Contending with your peers can come to an end if you function by the spirit of wisdom. Trying to ask if we are mates is because of the absence of wisdom. If you possess the spirit of wisdom, it doesn't matter whether we went to the university the same year. Are you hearing what I'm saying, sir? Your access to distinction is wisdom. Supreme distinction comes from the spirit of wisdom. Possess it and you will see what will happen. My greatest joy here today, sir, is that he said that the Father may give. So it's not something you learn. Listen, your educational background has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Accessing the spirit of wisdom has something to do with the kind of university you go to. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It is available to whosoever will persistently ask for it. The spirit of wisdom is available to you. It's available. Let me whet your appetite a little bit about wisdom so that you can pursue it indeed. Because if you don't know what the thing is, you'll not place value on it. Hallelujah. So let's look at the general framework of prayer, the purpose of which we pray. It says we pray that the Father may give unto us the spirit of what? Wisdom. Number two, the spirit of what? Revelation in the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of the Father. That the Father may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of the Father. That's why Paul the Apostle said, I may know you. It's a continuous quest. That I may know you. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now listen, Peter made a statement that I love so very much. Peter talked about the fact that grace and peace be multiplied unto you according to the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Isn't that shocking? Second Peter, sir. It said grace, shalom. Grace and what, sir? Peace be multiplied unto you according to what, sir? According to the knowledge of God and of who, sir? And of Jesus Christ. So if there's anything we must commit ourselves to doing on earth is to know the Father and know the Son. If there's anything you must commit yourself to knowing on earth, yes, sir, is to spend much time in knowing the Father, knowing the Son. For in him, like the Godhead dwell together bodily. The wisdom of the ages is locked up in the Son. You cannot behold the Father and have access to his wisdom and not understand what influences the operations of the earth. There's something superior to education. It's called revelation. There's something superior to education. It's called revelation. Let's go a little bit before I start breaking this thing down. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding. This part of the purpose of prayer. The eyes of your understanding being what, sir? Being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, the Father's calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now watch this, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. So you can see that now, I'm sure you get it clearly now that the he being used there is referring to the Father. Is that okay now? Which he, the Father, wrought in Christ when the Father raised him from the dead and set him at the Father's own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world or that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet. All things under whose feet? Under Christ's feet. Am I correct, sir? He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So let's get down to this whole thing. See, in verse 17, Paul makes it so clear. He said, one of the major reasons why I pray, one of the major things I pray for, one of the supreme things that if you hear me praying for somebody, the highest thing on my list when I pray for people, when I pray for Christians, when I pray for those who are in Christ, one of the things at the topmost, at the top of my prayer list, it's not that God will deliver them from this or deliver them from that, but that the Lord will give unto them the spirit of what, sir? The spirit of what, sir? Wisdom. Somebody say with me, wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Now listen, the word wisdom there is the word Sophia. Is that okay now? It's the word Sophia. Now, Sophia is S-O-P-H-I-A. So, he said that the Lord will grant unto you the spirit of what again? Wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Now, listen carefully to this. What we're talking about, the spirit of wisdom. Get this. You're not going to miss it. You need this now. Now, the word wisdom means broad and full knowledge. I like this one. The word wisdom there, the word, the spirit of wisdom there, Sophia, which is S-O-P-H-I-A,
is speaking of broad and full knowledge or broad and full intelligence. Kai. So, sir, when I pray and I say, Father, grant unto Dr. Jim Lasso a spirit of wisdom, what am I praying for? I'm praying that God will give unto him what, sir? Say it again, sir. Broad and what, sir? Full intelligence. Broad and full intelligence. Is there anybody who wants to succeed in the world today in anything that you do that does not need broad and full intelligence? So when Paul said, I pray that God will give you Sophia, I pray that God will give, Jesus will give you, the Father will give to you the spirit of wisdom, he was saying, look, I'm praying that the Father will give to you the spirit of broad and full intelligence. Broad and full intelligence. Sophia also means knowledge in diverse matters.
Yes, sir.
Have you sat down with some people when they start talking, you wonder, come, are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? You can't sit with Kenneth Hagin and not wonder where did that man get it from? A man that never went to university. See how the whole world is studying his materials and they are yet to comprehend the depth of it. We call it broad and full intelligence, sir. Knowledge in diverse matters. Huh? So it is that kind of wisdom, sir, that makes a man who just came from prison, never went to school because he didn't have time to go to one. All his life he's been fighting battles. 17 years old, he ran into battle in his life. So he never had time to go to school at all. If there was any secondary school he went to, it's a secondary school of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying now? University, that of crisis. How is it that man that will come out and speak to a king, interpret his dream? Now, let's even accept that interpretation of dream was a gift from the Almighty God. How about now proffering solutions to the nations? Talking about the father in the time of surplus, make sure you keep a certain percentage. Did you go to study economics from any university? We call it Sophia, broad and full knowledge. We're talking about comprehensive knowledge. Knowledge in diverse matters. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? Knowledge that will make people to wonder, where did you get this one from? It is something beyond human comprehension. Education has nothing to do with this one. Somebody say, Lord, give it to me. That the Lord will give unto you the spirit of wisdom. The spirit. So it is given. It is given. It is not studied. My question is, can Paul ask that the Father give it to you if Paul is not assured of the fact that it can be given? Two, can Paul describe it so clearly, the spirit of wisdom, if Paul had not tasted of it? Amen. The Bible says, in all matters, that they interacted with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. In all matters, the Bible said they found them to be what, sir? 10 times. When the king was to make in-depth study, he said, come, I discovered that it's an excellent spirit. He couldn't describe it. He called it an excellent spirit. He couldn't describe what was behind the workings of the wisdom that was operational in the life of this man called Daniel. So the man called it an excellent spirit. In fact, at the point, he called it the spirit of the gods or something like that. Huh? The spirit of the gods dwells. The man was confused. Look, sorry, where did you read this? You are not Babylonians. How do you know these things? In all matters. I love reading books, sir. I don't play with books. Sir, but sir, if you want to wait to gain wisdom by studying, you need the next 50 years of your life to keep studying. But there is something about the spirit of wisdom, sir. It comes to make a download. It downloads into you things that time and age could never have given to you. You are not hearing what I'm saying. Somebody say, Lord, give it to me. You don't understand this, and that's why you're talking like a gentleman. Say, Lord, give it to me. Now, is it that the Father, I like this, sir. Is it that the Father may give to you, meaning he's giveable? The question is, who is waiting to receive? Talking even about wisdom alone, he said, is if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who giveth it. He gives it. Please, can I speak Nigerian language here, sir? Our Father giveth it yafu yafu and does not hold it back. He giveth liberally, generously, and the Bible says, he upbraided not. The prevalence of ignorance in any aspect of your life is the reason why you're not making the kind of progress you should be making. Whatever has resisted you is because of the absence of wisdom. Anywhere in my life I'm not making progress is because of the absence of wisdom. Because with wisdom is durable riches. With wisdom is length of days. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? In fact, the Bible says it is to be desired above rubies. Just ordinary wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Paul said that the Father may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Lord, as I take the communion bread, let me not just eat the body of Jesus. Let me fellowship with the wisdom of Jesus. Let me get back to my place of work. And people are wondering, can you tell us, where did you download this material from? Which Harvard course did you go for? And people will be, where did you get this from? Let people be looking at my marriage and be wondering, how is your marriage working? Where are other marriages that are just hitting the rock? Because of the spirit of what, sir? Wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. And this spirit of wisdom, like I said, speaks of the spirit of broad and what, sir? Full what? Intelligence. Number two, it speaks of what, too? Can I hear you? Say it again. Knowledge in what, sir? In diverse matters. Knowledge. Wait. Please. Look up. That was my challenge. As I was praying, I was like, Father, I receive knowledge in diverse matters. I receive knowledge in diverse matters. Lord, I receive broad and comprehensive intelligence. In the name. Yes, sir. Because the world that we are living in, sir, if you're going to succeed in this world, you need knowledge outside the area of your core competence. Am I talking to anybody? Are you listening to me? In actual fact, in the generation in which we live in now, I hope I'm not getting into Sunday service. In the generation in which we live in right now, sir, it may be knowledge outside the area of your core competence that will open the door for the expression of your core competence. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? The ultimate destination of Joseph was to rule, was rulership, because he saw it twice, how that the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing. So rulership was his destiny. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sheaves standing, others bowing. So rulership was his destiny. But what was it that took him to the place where his ultimate calling will find expression, sir? Interpretation of dreams. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? How that it is sometimes not your core competence that will open the door. It is your knowledge outside the area of your core competence that will open the door for the expression of your core competence. Somebody say, Lord, give it to me. So the spirit of wisdom speaks of broad and full intelligence used in the different aspects of life. It speaks of knowledge in diverse matters. Let me take a little bit further for you. When we're talking about this kind of knowledge, we're talking about skill in the management of life's affairs. So when you are praying, you're saying, Father, I pray for Kalu that you will give him the spirit of wisdom. So you are compelling heaven to release something on his life. You are asking that heaven put on this young man broad and full water, intelligence. You are asking that heaven put on him knowledge and water, diverse matters. But beyond that, you're also asking that heaven will give unto him skill in the management of life affairs.
skill.
My God, listen to this. Don't miss this now. Paul did not say that the Lord will show you where to go and learn skill from. He said that the Father may give you skill to manage life affairs. Skills can be given. So if your life is chaotic, you need skill for managing life affairs. If your life is confusing, you don't know, today you are doing that one, tomorrow you are doing that one, you are confused. There seems not to be direction. There's no proper utilization of resources that God has given to you in terms of your time, your strength, your money and all of that. Listen, if you can't go to Harvard to learn and it will take you time to learn, why don't you just say, Father, give unto me what, sir? The spirit of wisdom. Sophia, it's given that the Father may give you. Paul could only say that because it is givable. Begin to pray like this. Begin to use the scripture to pray. You will not know when suddenly you just begin to become unusually conscious of how you spend your time. Two, you become unusually conscious about the way you spend your time, with whom you spend your time, and with what you spend your time. Suddenly, you just begin to discover that you're beginning to eliminate things that are irrelevant, that are taking a lot of your time. See, it is a consciousness not born from the head, but born from the heart. Suddenly, something from the inside of you will begin to repel things that are not maximizing you. Something from the inside. Try what I'm talking about. Begin to pray for the spirit of wisdom. And you will begin to see it in it. The Bible talks about the manifold wisdom. You will begin to see this wisdom in many different manifestations in your life. Somebody say, spirit of wisdom. Say again, say, come upon me, spirit of wisdom. Skill, a managed skill in managing life's affairs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me share one more thing, if I can, with you about wisdom. When you're praying for wisdom, one of the purposes of prayer is to ask that God to give you the spirit of wisdom. I know what the spirit of wisdom is, sir. The word Sophia in the Greek actually means supreme intelligence. Hi. Supreme what, sir? Supreme intelligence. Wait, sir. Wait, have you ever thought about this thing with this man of Galilee? See, I'm intoxicated with Jesus. I don't have any other role model than him. Is that okay? So my lessons are drawn from this man. How is it that the Bible says, sir, that when they were coming, that he perceived what they were coming to do? Now, don't tell me because he's the Son of God. Mm-mm-mm-mm. He was man. When Jesus was on earth, he was 100% man. To deny that will make you an antichrist. In fact, that's the proof. That's how to test somebody who is an antichrist. If you say Jesus will not come in the flesh, then it means you are an antichrist. So when Jesus was on earth, sir, and he could perceive the intentions, do you know what it means for somebody to be saying, yo, you know, you are just the super best. Ah, you don't know how much I love you. Do you know what it means for somebody to be talking? And by the operation of the spirit of wisdom, you are operating in supreme intelligence to understand what knowledge cannot even deliver to you, what observation cannot give to you. You just know that you know without knowing how you know. And the person is just, you know, you're this, oh no, you know, you're that, and you know, you just know. Supreme intelligence. And it can be applied in several areas of life. You function at the level of, now they call it IQ. Am I correct, sir? Now let me say this. One of the things that keeps amazing people, permit me, I'll just use that as an example. One of the things that keeps amazing people today
is the kind of intelligence that God gave Kenneth Hagin. But it was from this scripture, sir. This man prayed with this scripture several times. The intelligence quotient of Kenneth Hagin was amazing. And you know what I've discovered, sir? It's not only Kenneth Hagin. I've discovered that people who spend more time praying and speaking and calling down wisdom upon their lives, I've always discovered that they operate with higher level of IQ. Check anybody who respects wisdom. You will see his IQ. He will operate at an IQ level that is beyond just the normal. You will know this has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with education. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom. Lord, every time I come to take communion service, to take communion bread, let me not just be eating the wafers. Let me be eating my way into your wisdom. Let me have access into your wisdom. So when we talk about the spirit of wisdom, we're talking about supreme intelligence. Now let me say this to you. Perhaps you have grace enough to capture it, to handle it. Sophia, in its root meaning, actually talks about supreme intelligence as it operated in God and in Jesus Christ. Supreme intelligence as it operated in who, sir? In God. Let me ask you one simple question. What is the name of the university that God attended to be God? Sir? Godiversity. Are you following us? Oh. Did he make you in his image? We have been living below our potentials. As I read the scripture, sir, I said I was just screaming. I mean, I was like, God. I'm going to ask you again. What is the name of the university that God, Ambrose, what university did God attended to be God, to be certified God? What is the name of the professor that lectured him to function with the kind of intelligence that he had? Was it an acquired intelligence? Talk to me. Was God's intelligence acquired? Did he acquire it from anywhere? Now, wait. If the wisdom was not acquired, it means that this wisdom is himself. For we understand that Jesus is the wisdom of who? Is that in your Bible? That Jesus is what? The wisdom of God. Okay, so can we play a little bit? Can we do small Bible study? In the beginning was, and the Word was with, and the Word was, Okay, wait, so, and the Word became and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the, wait, so, okay, so the only begotten of the Father, and who is it eventually? Oh, how do we know that? When John stood up and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is that okay, sir? All right, so we understand from John chapter 1, verse 1 down, that the whole scripture was talking about who, sir? Jesus Christ. Is that okay? And then let's go back to that same John chapter 1, verse 1. If we understand that the whole scripture was talking about Jesus, is that all right? Okay, so the Bible studies, can we get back now? Interpreting scripture with scripture. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was what, sir? God? All right, so in essence, Jesus is God. Am I correct, sir? All right, I don't care about what anybody's talking about, Trinitarians and all kinds of rubbish that talk about whether Jesus is the Son of God. Now, declare, Jesus is God. Is that okay, sir? All right, now, watch this carefully. Can we do it? Are you ready for it? If Jesus is the wisdom of God. Wait. If Jesus is the wisdom of God. And Jesus is God. Then that wisdom we're talking about is actually who? Now, honestly, today you need to clap for yourself because you did so very well. You tried. Now, watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. If God did not study to operate with wisdom and operate with the kind of intelligence that he had, and Paul said, I pray that the Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of supreme intelligence. Now, it means that it can be given, just like it was not studied. It was not studied or transferred in order for it to find expression. It means that by the simple act of praying, I can bring the spirit of wisdom into operation in my life and wake up after I pray and begin to find myself operating with a kind of intelligence that is superior to whatever it was I was operating with before. It is called supreme intelligence. And it is givable. The Father wants to give it to you. He doesn't need it. You need it. So, the kind of intelligence we're talking about, sir, is supreme intelligence such as belong to who, sir? Now, you can have the same kind of intelligence that belong to God. You can have it. Now, take note of this. You can have the same kind, but not in the same measure. How many of you have the Spirit of God? I'm going to catch Christians now. How many of you have the Spirit of God? Okay. Mm-hmm. How many of you have the God kind of faith? The faith that God has? See, now people have fainted straight away. They fainted. Hands just went like that. I'm going to ask you again. How many of you have the God kind of faith? The very kind of faith that God has. How many of you have it? Now let me make some more hands drop. I'm talking about the faith that God has. How many of you have that kind of faith? Woman of God, you say what? Nobody has that kind of faith. Now, can I shock every one of you here? If the kind of faith you have is not the God kind of faith, then it is not the kind of faith that God responds to. And I'm going to let you know that you have it. Are you born again? How did you become born again? What makes you believe you are born again? Do you believe God has forgiven you? You believe God has forgiven you. Now the faith you have that God has forgiven you. Now the word believe simply means to judge God right in your opinion. Now, the faith you have that made you judge God right, is that okay? That makes you believe that I judge God right to have forgiven me. That makes you believe that God has forgiven me. That faith that you have, in fact, it is the highest faith. Now, that is the highest manifestation of faith on earth. The faith that brings your dead spirit back to life is higher than the faith needed to make a lame leg walk. If I can shock you, the faith that brought your dead spirit back to life is higher than the faith that is needed to make a dead body come back to life. The reason why it's difficult for us to pray for dead bodies is because of our knowledge of how dead the dead body is. See, when in your mind you say, he's dead, he's dead, this person is, he has gone. Just your knowledge of how dead the dead body is and your knowledge of death, it defeats your faith. Is that okay? But the highest manifestation of faith is when somebody looks at an invisible God and trusts him to forgive you and revive your dead spirit and bring it back to life. It's the highest manifestation of faith.
Okay, so I ask you a question. Let's not go into all of that. I ask you a question. As how many of you have the Spirit of God? Wave your hands again at me. Now, how many of you have that God kind of faith?
Someone else like. Let's raise the hand up. Was like, man, Pastor Sam, I'm just trying to raise my hand because you said so, you know.
Now, let's simplify. What's the God kind of faith? When Jesus Christ looked at a fig tree, is that okay? Jesus looked at a fig tree and said, no man shall eat of you anymore. Is that okay? Because that's where we heard that statement was made. Jesus looked at a fig tree and said to the fig tree, no man shall eat of you anymore. And Jesus walked away. Is that all right? Jesus so believed in his word so much so that whenever he speaks the word, he doesn't need to wait to see the result whether the word works. He walks away from the word. He knows it's a matter of time. Oh, come. He knows it's a matter of water. Now, so when he speaks, he does not doubt what he says. He doesn't need to wait to see whether the thing happens immediately or not. I'm helping somebody right now that is destroying his faith after he finished talking. Because you don't see an immediate result, you destroy your faith. Is that okay? Jesus looked at the fig tree and said to him, please take note, I'm talking about Jesus. He looked at the fig tree and said to him, no man shall eat of you anymore. And Jesus walked away from the tree. When he walked away, the fig tree was not dead. Is that okay? So it was in the process of time. The Bible said the next day morning when they came passing by, the disciples looked at and they took note. Is that okay? They took note because they heard him. He didn't bother trying to look at the tree. He didn't call them and say, guys, look at the tree. Is the tree dried up? They'll be trying to check up on his word, whether he has faith in his word or not. Jesus knows if I say it is a matter of time, it will come to pass. Because that's how the Father speaks. Is that okay? The Father said, let there be light. And the Father just waited and over time. Now listen, when the Father said, let there be light, doesn't mean that immediately things kept on happening. Is that okay? But before that day was over, light was there. Is that okay, sir? That's how the Father speaks. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the enemy. That was spoken in Genesis chapter 3. It came to pass in Matthew chapter 3 or chapter 2. Can you imagine the time lapse between what the Father said and when we saw the manifestation? Do you have that kind of faith? And there are times when the Father will say, let the Red Sea part and instantly to a part. Is that okay? And yet there are times when the Father will speak and it will take time for it to come to pass. The Bible says in the fullness of time, the Bible says according to the time of life, Elisha spoke. So understand that sometimes the Father speaks, we see the result instantly. And sometimes it takes a process of time. The most important thing is that whether it happens instantly or progressively, ultimately what happens is the word comes to pass. And the Father never makes a negative statement in between the declaration of a statement and the outcome of it. The Father never revisits that statement that was made to make a negative statement. If the Father ever makes a statement based on a statement made before, the Father will be reinforcing the statement. Let me move away from that. Someone say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom. Say like you mean it, say spirit of wisdom. Now, the spirit of wisdom like the Father has, Paul said, the Father can give it to you. Now, not in the same measure that the Father has. Because the measure of intelligence the Father is too big for you to handle. Are you getting the Father manages the earth, the planets, the universe. Is that okay? You can't manage. Is anybody applying to be the governor of planet Mars? You understand that? In fact, if you go to Alaska right now, we will either have to bring you back iced. Someone say, Lord, give it to me. How many of you want the spirit of wisdom? So when we pray, the purpose of prayer is that we may access the spirit of wisdom. The second thing I want to quickly share with you here is that the Father may give unto you the spirit of what, sir? Revelation. Somebody say with me, revelation. Say it again like you mean it. Say revelation. That the Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The word revelation there is the word apokalypsis. It's the word I like this. Apocalypsis is A-P-O-K-L-U-P-S-I-S. Apocalypsis. Now, that's the word for the book of Revelation. Is that okay, sir? Now, listen to what Paul prays. He said, I pray for you that the Father will give to you not money, not cars, not houses, not even a husband or a wife. But I pray that the Father will give unto you the spirit of supreme intelligence. That is Sophia, wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Not only that, I also pray that the Father will give unto you apocalypsis. Now, when Paul talks about apocalypsis here, Paul was simply talking about, a situation whereby there is absolute disclosure. Absolute disclosure, meaning that there is an unveiling. Father, give me the spirit of supreme intelligence and take away the veil from everything that is before me. Oh God, why is my life going the way it's going? It's because you still have veils that have not been taken off. You can't understand your life until veils are removed. Until there is disclosure, until there's an apocalypsis, you can't understand why your life is going in a direction contrary to your expectation. You want your life to go like this, but your life is constantly going in this direction, and you try to figure out. You've gone for all manner of consultations. You've talked to people. You've gone for counsels, and yet you can't find out what the answer is. Only God can take the veil away. Is that okay? Only God can take the veil away and make you see what is behind the scene. Paul said, I pray that the Lord will give unto you the spirit of supreme intelligence, but not just that alone. I pray that the Father also will take the veil away and give you access into the things that are there, but they've been hidden. I pray that the Father will give you the spirit of disclosure. You will have access into things that are covered. I never knew many things about my life, sir. By revelation, not by information, I began to understand things. God began to take veils away, began to make me see things that I never knew. My father never told me, my mother never told me. I just began to understand things about where I'm coming from. And God began to tell me to confront them. Information is great, but there's a limitation to every information in this world. Information is based on man's analysis, man's observation. But there's a limit to what the five senses of man can see. There's a limit to how far the senses of man can go. The Spirit of God goes beyond the veil, takes the veil away, and brings to you in the public things that are behind the scene. Lord, give me the spirit of revelation. Let me know things that I have not been informed about. Oh God, have mercy. Lord, this man wants to be my business partner. He talks well. He does well. He acts well. Lord, this guy looks too nice, too good to be true. Lord, can you please take the veil away? Can I see who he is? Show me. Oh God, Pastor, it was in the 80s now. And I think in the early part of the 90s, Christians will go to God and say, Lord, show me this man. Reveal him to me. And then suddenly the man that everybody sees outside and is, wow, praise God, wonderful and all. When the Lord takes the veil away, you're going to be seeing a monster. And God will tell you that's the true identity of the person you're seeing outside. That is a wolf in sheep clothing. Why are we having breakups in the church, sir? Why are we having breakups? We've never recorded the kind of breakups we're having and divorce that we're having in the body of Christ like we're recording now. Why, sir? Because people have abandoned the place of revelation. Everybody's pursuing information.
Janet, come. Janet, what do you know about that guy? Janet, what do you know about him? And then this one too, go. Mike, come, Mike. Mike, we need to talk about. Mike, I just called you because I'm interested in Natasha. Yeah, so, but, before,
I prayed, but it's just that I need to know. So, wait a minute. If you prayed, why don't you also ask for revelation? Why is information more important to you than revelation? The best men can tell you is what they know. But the real thing about human beings are the ones that are not known. Can you see what is following her from where she's coming from? Can you see what is following him from where he's coming from? Only God who knows the end of a thing from the beginning thereof can reveal that to you. Father, give me the spirit of revelation. There are businesses that looks nice to invest in now. If you spend time with God, he will tell you this business is going to mess your life up in the next 5 years. We don't pray more. We don't spend time with God. The spirit of revelation. Show me this person, Lord. Take me beyond the veil. Lord, these co-workers that I'm having in this office, Lord, everyone looks so nice. This one bringing Tom today, the other one bringing Trevor tomorrow, the other one even bringing, you know, so tomorrow, and the other one also bringing shoe for me to wear tomorrow. Lord, I appreciate their niceness, Lord, but can you show me who they are? Right here in Bauchi, say, sir. A lady was speaking and she said, when they were asking, how did you get other girls initiated into the cult that you belong to? She said, every time she goes to Lagos, she buys a kind of shoes that they like. She gives it to them as gifts. Say, once they wear those shoes, that they come under the influence of the spirit that rules our cult. So that's how she gets them. Once they wear the shoes that she brought to them, she was like, oh my God, you brought this for me. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. And they're just going, thank you. Thank you. Who will say thank you? But say, once they wear the shoe, they come under the influence of the spirit that rules are called. That opens the door for her to just come and just do the cleaning work, because air bombardments have taken place. So taking over the land is just an easy thing. Father, show me. Show me. Let me know those people. One of our members came to me on Tuesday. I was talking to me and he said, Pastor, I'll just keep it somehow. And then, you know, the summary of what I said to him, I said, look, listen to me. I said, as your pastor, it's my responsibility to love everybody. And I said, my job is to love you, make you feel nice until the day God will fully change you, even if I know things about you that are beyond your capacity. Okay. That's the job of a pastor, because otherwise, I have to function as a prophet. And if I function as a prophet, I can't pastor this church. I said, so, I know some things about some people. And yet I'm shaking hands with them. And they believe that I don't know anything about them. And that's exactly what a pastor is supposed to do. Make you feel all right. And I keep teaching you until the day I hope that the Holy Spirit will do the work, because it's not my job to do that. My job is to stay in the closet and be interceding for you, my little children, in whom I mean travail until Christ be formed in you. Sometimes you see two people like this and they are talking and you're just laughing. The prophet in you wants to jump out, but the pastor must contain him. You see things. You see things that people are, they are telling you one thing, but you are seeing the real thing. May you come under the influence of the spirit of revelation. May deception be far from you. Matthew chapter 24, sir, I spent some time there doing research about the end time, and I discovered, sir, that the major language used about the devil is the word deception. 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 And the devil that deceived the world. So the weapon of the enemy is what, sir? Deception. The only answer to deception is revelation. Deception is to becloud your vision, to cover you, not to make you understand. Revelation will say, hey, take it off. Take it away. I'm seeing something here. As we partake of the communion today, may you begin to function in this dimension of wisdom. May you begin to see the operation of supreme intelligence at work in your life. Knowledge in diverse matter, broad and full knowledge, broad and full intelligence, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As you partake of the communion today, may your eyes be open. May you begin to see men beyond what they show you. May you begin to understand men beyond what they present, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not be deceived another day, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, I pray for you that the Father may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then he now used one word. He said, in the knowledge of him, Kai. That one I wish I can just talk about it for another 30 minutes. But the word in the knowledge of him, sir, watch this carefully. The Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, Sophia. Number two, in what, sir? The spirit of revelation, Amicorus, Apocalypse. And then he now said what, sir? In the knowledge of him. The word knowledge of him there, the word knowledge is epignosis, sir. The word epignosis means precise and correct knowledge. Precise and correct knowledge about the Father. Is that okay? That you may have precise and correct knowledge like nobody else can teach you. It's one thing for you to attend Bible college and we are teaching you who Jesus is. It's another thing for the Father to reveal himself to you. One of the things that keeps Christians strong in their walk with God is what the Father revealed to them by himself and not what people tell you about the Father. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? Pastor, when we're talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, sir, we're saying that the Father will invite Pastor Shew into his presence and the Father will say, come, my son. You know what Jesus did to the disciples, sir? You know what Jesus did to them? He took them to the upper room, away from the view of everybody. And Jesus, the Bible says, he removed his robe and he stripped himself naked. This was revelation, sir. He was revealing to them the ribs that nobody has ever seen outside. Because you see, they were with him in the upper room. They were with him in the inner chamber where nobody else was. So he disclosed to them what others outside don't see. My prayer for you is that you will come into the place of prayer, where the Father will reveal himself to you in the face of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to anybody here? Where the Father will take away all the things that covers him, all the cloud and the glory and everything, and the Father will show you who he is. The Father will reveal himself to you in the face of his own Son. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? Not the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge, the precise epignosis, the precise and correct knowledge, that the Father may give you an introduction of himself like nobody else has ever told you about him. That's what we're talking about. And when we're talking about the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of him, now please take away the knowledge of him here. It tells you that if you can have precise knowledge about the Father, you can have precise knowledge about anything on earth. We are on the maximizing the redemption benefit that we have in Christ. I will want to stop tonight. I want to give you the next 60 seconds. Trust God. Trust his word. If you pray this prayer, sister, I don't care to know what primary school, secondary school, university you went to, you'll be amazed at the kind of intelligence that you'll be finding yourself exhibiting on the surface of the earth. Supreme intelligence. Supreme intelligence. Number two, you'll be amazed also how the things will be unveiled unto you. You will begin to know the Father. You will begin to know the Son in the way no Bible study teacher can ever teach you. How many of you want to know God? Honestly, if you are waiting for Sunday school to reveal him to you, you may need the whole of your lifetime. But if you spend time in the place of prayer, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation in the knowledge, precise, accurate, and correct understanding of who you are. The Father will. The Father will. I wish I can go on to the verses after and then correspond this, correlate this with the book of Colossians where Paul continued. You will discover 12 major purposes of prayer. I've only shared 3 with you today. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, amazing things on prayer. In fact, for me, if you use those prayer points to pray, they are superior to the kind of prayer points we use to pray. I'd like you to rise on your feet very quickly. Say, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom. Say, give to me, because he said that the Father may give you. Is there anyone who lacks it? Ask the Father to give you. Supreme intelligence. Stop saying I have a low IQ. Stop saying I'm not well educated. You can overtake those who are better than you, educationally speaking. Education does not give you access to the topmost places in life. It's intelligence. Say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom. Number two, say, Lord, give me the spirit of revelation. Quietly speak to the Lord and say, Father, as I partake of the communion now, let me partake of the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. Father, let me partake of the spirit of wisdom. Those of you who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. Mistakes in my life, Lord. Let the spirit of wisdom correct my errors. Too many mistakes in my life. Too many wrong decisions. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation. Let me have supernatural understanding of things that are hidden. Let me no longer be deceived. Bible says we should do this as often as we do it in remembrance of him. Father, as we remember Jesus today, we remember the supreme intelligence that was at work in him. We saw that Jesus operated with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of you. He says, I see my Father work it, hitherto I walk. We see this at work in the life of Jesus. As we partake of this communion bread and wine, let this also begin to find expression in our lives. From today, I pray for everyone who partakes of this communion that every kind of error we have made in the past because of wrong decision, limited understanding, that from today things will take a new turn. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Father will begin to see a supreme level of intelligence that is now at work in us. That Lord, we will now begin to go beyond deception by the power of revelation. In the name of Jesus Christ, that will begin to have precise and accurate knowledge about things. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, our God and our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And I also pray for everyone who is sick here in the house. If there be anybody sick here, Father, we rebuke sickness out of their body. We rebuke infirmity out of their body. If there be anyone under the harassment of the devil, we take authority over him and his cohorts. We decree that such ones be lifted here, up and above all the intentions and workings of the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our God and our Father. We proclaim our liberty in the spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.